Now, Dorothy, how would you describe yourself?
Erratically, I'm afraid. But as a DNA topologist, I'm a mathematician and molecular biologist that looks at DNA protein interactions and looks how those change one knot type to another.
Okay, so this sounds all very intriguing because a topologist is really a pure mathematician. So how does a pure mathematician come to be involved in biology and in cancer biology?
That's a good question. Infiltrating the enemy camp, as it were. I met a molecular biologist who was interested in proteins that rearrange the DNA sequence that often as a byproduct form knots and links, like the kind you tie in your shoelace. And he was looking for a hired gun, really, a mathematician to come analyze them and see what that said about the mechanism and the pathway of this interaction. And so I started chatting with him, and one thing led to another, as it does.
Well, let's go back to the beginning, because in a cell you have chromosomes and you have DNA, and there are times in the cell cycle when the DNA is very, very long, isn't it? So how does it pack itself up in a nice, neat way and do what it's supposed to do?
That's a really good question. In fact, it's an open question still, I think, that the first levels, it's a hierarchy of compactification, and the first levels are well understood, but the subsequent higher levels are still very mysterious. The first level, though, is this idea that it actually unwinds the ladder, the double helix, and does that by introducing writhe, like the kind you see in the handset of your phone cord, if you're old-fashioned enough like me to still have handset connected to the base of your phone. So that actually already begins to compactify the DNA, but the later levels are not well understood.
And it's true to say that sometimes the DNA gets itself in knots.
Yes, it does, but it's quite unusual. And when it does, it's very bad for the DNA. Usually soon after that, the cell commits cell suicide, as it were, if it cannot remove the knots or the links, because these knots inhibit all kinds of important metabolic activities.
And how do the knots arise?
Oh, so sometimes they arise on purpose, and sometimes they arise on accident. And on purpose is sometimes when you have circular DNA, the fact that your DNA is a double helix instead of a straight ladder means when you pull it apart to copy it and have two new DNA molecules, they're linked together, like your circle and forefinger, two of those linked together. So that's one way where it happens naturally. Other ways is the kind that I mentioned earlier, where just as a nice accident of the product, this long sticky polymer just kind of gets in the way of the real reaction and ends up converting these supercoils, as they're called, into knot nodes.
And how often does this sort of thing happen?
Well, on purpose, these links that happen every time a DNA is copied. So if you have a bacterial infection, it's happening hundreds of thousands an hour, I'm sorry. But for knots, it's much more rare, and especially in vivo, in organisms, it's fortunately not very often at all, since, as we said, they're quite dangerous.
On the other hand, it seems a bit amazing that when you look at this jumble of DNA, it's just like strands that are thrown down. It looks a real tangle. How is it that you don't get knots more often?
It is shocking, isn't it? I really don't know. I think it has to do with this organization, this hierarchy of compactification, that it is being massaged and buffeted and accessed by a whole battery of proteins that are acting as chaperones to kind of nudge it into the right shape. But it is miraculous that it's not knotted more often, particularly at the ends of these very long chromosomal regions.
Really another example of nature knowing more tricks than we can even imagine.
Certainly. Yes, indeed.
And if you do get knots, is there any way of untangling them?
Yeah, so there's these proteins in the cell whose sole function it is to unknot and unlink DNA molecules, and they do them extraordinarily efficiently, much more efficient than most computer algorithms that we have, so quickly and efficiently.
And how is that happening, do you know?
So they do it in the same way we would do it if we were just given a knotted piece of string and we gave up on trying to unknot it nicely. We would just cut it, like Alexander did with his sword, I guess, and have it fall apart. But then they reseal it after they do a crossing change. So they attach it, a crossing of the knot, they cut one strand, pull it through the other, and then reseal. The miraculous thing is if you do that randomly, you don't usually get something unknotted, you just get another mess, but they're able somehow to drive it towards unknotting or unlinks.
It all sounds really amazing. Now, how are your ideas going down with the traditional biologists?
Well, as I said, I infiltrated some of the enemy camp, so I spent 6 years in a wet lab, so I think it helps that at least I can hold a pipette. But I mean, I think that's one nice thing about biology being really hard, is there's all these chimeric teams of people looking at these problems. So, for example, to understand why these proteins unknot and unlink DNA so well, there's teams of biochemists, molecular biologists, computer scientists, physicists, mathematicians like myself, working in groups and publishing in groups to try and understand this process, because the biological tools at this point are still just too crude to understand it completely.
There seems to be so much we just don't know about the inner workings of the cell.
Yes, I think it depends on whether or not you're a half full or half empty kind of person. But it seems a great time to be doing molecular biology, that's for sure.